Take your Bibles, please, and open with me to John chapter 6. And as you open there, a huge thanks once again this morning to our sound guys who were running around. I hope that next week you won't have to do that. Maybe we'll have it fixed by then. But thank you very much for taking care of all of us, running around, getting speakers set up. And actually, I don't know about in the back, but in the front it sounds great. Very clear, very crisp. Even in the back, I'm getting some thumbs up. So open your Bibles to John 6 this morning, and might be a little bit different today. If you're visiting with us, we normally go verse by verse through books of the Bible. We, and I maybe even to a fault, I normally stay in that text and in that context without going anywhere else. Well, today we're going to go a few other places. We all do know that we do get tired. And this morning we're going to see what there is to learn on the way to the feeding of the 5,000. You know, John chapter 6 is a huge chapter, 71 verses. Well, we're not going to race through that in a day or even two. Mostly these verses are focused on the feeding of the 5,000, which is a great miracle by Jesus Christ. Plenty to learn from that. And then some of Christ's very hard to swallow teaching known as the Bread of Life Discourse. We're going to look at all of that very closely in the coming month or months because it's worthy of close attention. But honestly, everything in Scripture is worthy of close attention. I really appreciated Brother Bruce's Sunday school teaching this morning. He even broke it down to, you know, verse 8A, 8B, 8C. I was waiting for 8D. Maybe that's me next week. But there's so much in God's Word, and every word of God is pure. All of it is worthy of our close attention. So today, we're just going to look at the first few verses of John 6, and then we're going to look at Mark's parallel account in Mark chapter 6. You might open both of those places a while. Our texts for this morning are John 6, 1-3, and Mark 6, 30-34. Title of the message this morning is On the Way to the Feeding of the 5,000. And we're just going to see what we can learn on the way there. We'll start with John 6, verses 1-3. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, known by that name also. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he had performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And we start in here, it says, after these things. And you say, well, after what things? Well, after the things recorded in John chapter 5, which we've been looking at for several weeks. But all of those things took place in Jerusalem. Here it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee. Well, that's way up north. And literally it says he went to the other side. So it looks like there's at least a geographical disconnect here, which raises the question in verse 1, how long after these things? John 6 is how long after John 5? Well, when you go and research that, you find out it's months after, months and months. And John has not recorded a lot of what is in the other Gospels. Which raises the question, well, why not? Why is John skipping things? Why is he skipping over a lot of what you would find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke if you went there and looked at this same account? Well, listen, because the answer is important. You who are older, you know this well. But you who are newer to the faith, newer to the Bible, might not know this as well. God, in his great wisdom and for our benefit, has given us not one massive, comprehensive testimony of everything there is to know about Jesus Christ, his life and ministry, but he's given us four accounts. Four holy men of God were carried along by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1:21, this is how we got our Bible. Four holy men of God were carried along by the Holy Spirit to give us four authorized accounts of the life of Jesus Christ. And they are similar, but at times they are very different. It's a little bit like, you know, how many of you, raise your hands, how many of you were here when we came back from Honduras and we gave you an account of our trip? How many were here for the Honduras trip report? Yeah, a lot of you. Great, wonderful. So let me refresh your memory. So a number of eyewitnesses that day gave similar but quite different accounts of the trip. One of them, you might recall, was very chronological. You know, on Saturday we arrived, and on Sunday we did this, and on Monday we did this, and on Tuesday we did this, and on Wednesday we did this, and all the way till, and on Saturday we returned, like, who was that? Anybody remember? That was Jeremy. That was the gospel according to Jeremy. And his gospel was arranged very chronologically, like this day. In fact, he got to Wednesday and he talked about, we went sightseeing. And I'm thinking, no, we didn't. Well, they did. And then he kept going on to Saturday. Now, another testimony you might recall was not chronological at all. It was much more emotional. It was more like, those kids. Whose was that? Gospel according to Seth. I didn't get anywhere close to like 6'8" there, but it was the gospel according to Seth. And then we had the gospel according to Tiffany and Pastor Drew and others. You know what? God in his great wisdom in a similar way has given us similar but quite differing accounts of the life of Christ in the Gospels. That is in his wisdom, and that is for our benefit. Matthew presents Jesus Christ as, does anybody know? Jesus Christ as exalted king. Way to go. Jesus Christ as exalted king. It's written primarily to Jews, but there's so much for all of us to learn. Mark presents Jesus not as the exalted king, but as the humble servant, opposite end of the spectrum. Luke presents Jesus as the son of man. Not that he's not the son of God, but Luke presents Christ's humanity. And John presents Jesus as the son of God. And there's a little bit of a Jesus as king, Jesus as servant, Jesus as son of man, Jesus as son of God. There's a little bit of a picture here throughout the Gospels. This is all for Christ's glory, and it's all for our good. So John's not giving us everything. And these first few verses raise a lot of questions like, you know, after these things, well, how long? Well, many months afterwards, Jesus went over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Why did he cross over? How did he cross over? With whom did he cross over? Well, he crossed over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him. Followed him how? Did they also get in boats, or did Jesus cross in a boat, and is this a good thing? It says, because they saw the signs which he performed. What signs were these? And he went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Well, you could say the text doesn't answer a lot of those detailed questions, so it doesn't matter. And I'll tell you, I have this good news for you. When you preach the Gospel of John, you can skip what I'm going to do and just go right on into verse 4 when you preach the Gospel of John. But as I studied this, I went over to Mark 6, where I'd like you to turn, because I found some things that I think are useful. You know, the Apostle Paul, and turn to Mark 6, if you would, we also always encourage our people to be good Bereans, right? Receiving the word of God with all readiness and searching the scriptures to see whether these things are so. I'm going to give you some lessons concerning your ministry, concerning your service to Christ that I think are going to be practical and profitable for you. The Apostle Paul had a great principle that I think is worth applying. And that we find that principle in Acts 20:20, where it says, I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything I thought was profitable. Acts 20:20. I kept back nothing from you that was helpful, is another way of stating it. That's a great principle. And so as I looked at these first few verses of John 6, and I looked at the parallel in Mark, I thought, you know what? There's a lot here for us to learn, and I think some of us could benefit from it. So as we look at Mark 6 now, verses 30 to 34, covering the same territory that John covered in John 6, 1 to 3, I want you to see 7 lessons about your ministry in order that I hope you'll be encouraged to continue even when you get tired. Even when you get tired. Look at Mark 6, 30. It says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Now stop there. This is many months after the events of John 5. In John 5, we saw Jesus in Jerusalem, speaking to Jews who wanted to kill him, preaching the gospel to them, seeking in every way to tell them what they needed to hear in order that they might be saved. We saw the great mercy of Jesus Christ there in Jerusalem. This is many months later, and by this time, Jesus has chosen the 12 to be his apostles. These are the men who would lay the foundation of the church. And he had sent them out on a mission to preach the gospel and to do miracles as a sign to authenticate their message. When they got back here in Mark 6:30, they are telling Jesus, they're giving a trip report. This is a mission trip report. One after another, they are telling Jesus all about it. We're not told what they said. I kind of wonder what that sounded like. Oh, Jesus, you should have seen it. We were talking to this one lady, and her eyes got big as saucers, and we were able to heal her son, and then somebody else probably butts in and says, oh, we were over here. We don't know, but you know what? There's something interesting here. as they are giving their trip report to Jesus Christ, he notices something. What is it? Take a look. Jesus noticed something in his disciples as they're telling this story. 6:31. And he says to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place." That's a place with no people. Keep that in mind. "Come aside by yourselves to a peopleless place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they," the disciples, "did not even have time to eat." What did Jesus notice? They're tired. They're tired. They needed rest. Which raises a question. Can doing God's work wear you down? Do we hear any amens? Yeah. We've all experienced that, right? That's lesson number one. Doing God's work can wear you down. It can wear you out. You can get tired, right? One child up front here never gets tired. I want to talk with him afterwards because we want to know his secret. But it's probably the secret of he's young. It also looked like he had a black eye, so maybe he'll get tired eventually. But, you know, we do get tired no matter what we're doing. How many of you, quick show of hands, how many of you are parents still raising your children at home? Quick show of hands. Wow. That's doing God's work, isn't it? Right? Raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, does that ever wear you down? Of course. How about teach them these things, it's from Deuteronomy 6, teach them these things, the word of God, diligently as you sit in the house and as you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. It almost sounds like you're to be constantly teaching your children the truth, which you are, right? Really good parenting is a matter of constantly teaching your children, not sitting having Bible time, just constantly teaching them in every environment, in every situation, as you rise up, as you lie down, as you walk by the wayside, in your house, when you're out and about, it's a matter of just teaching them the truth of God constantly. Well, that's wearisome work. How many of you, another show of hands, how many of you work a job? You work a regular, you know, you're not, I see Brian's hand, and I was going to say 8 to 5. No. So what is that job? 24/7, 365, on call, right? Is that doing God's work? If you're a Christian, it is, right? Because you serve not as man pleasers, but you do all your work heartily. That means wholeheartedly, as unto the Lord, right? You're doing your work to please God and not men. You're seeking to honor your boss in all things so that the word of God would not be blasphemed. 1 Timothy 6, Colossians 3, Ephesians 5 and 6, right? All these places and more talk about that your work, when you go to your job, is God's work. Can that wear you out? Of course. So now, show of hands, this is going to be a subset. How many of you, you're raising kids at home, you're working a job, and you serve in the church? Yeah, there's quite a few hands there. And I think more of you, just you're not raising your hands, but I know you serve in the church. They're the ones who really get tired. Doing God's work can wear you out. We know this by experience. It's demanding mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. A lot of people think, well, Pastor, I mean, that's the easiest because all you're doing is you're working 1 hour a week, you read one book, and it's one day, right? But I go to Solomon who said, much study is wearisome to the flesh. I mean, of course, I don't just sit around and read books, and I don't just work one day a week and for 1 hour. But studying is tiring. And really, I do find that there's one thing that I do faster now as compared to 10 years ago. I tire out faster. That's true of all of us, right? We all do one thing today faster than we did 10 years ago. We tire out faster. But there is somebody who knows this and somebody who sees this in you and who knows when you're tired and who cares about it. Even if no one else knows, if you're a believer, you have someone who does know. Who is it? Sunday school answer. Jesus. That's the Sunday school answer. It's Jesus. Lesson two. Jesus is a great shepherd. He's a great shepherd. Verse 31, it says, and he said to them, they didn't say this to him. I gather from this, I mean, maybe it's reading between the lines, but I gather that as they are telling Jesus about all that they have seen and all that they've done and their preaching and their ministry, Jesus sees they need rest. And he's the one who says, come aside. That means come away from all these people, even though they're still coming and going and coming and going. Come away from all these people. Come away by yourselves to a deserted place. That's a place where there are no people. And rest for a while. I like what Jesus does not say. That I think many taskmaster types would say. Jesus doesn't say things like, "Hey, I'm as tired as you guys are. Come on. What is the matter with you? Suck it up. There's work to be done. You know, hey, daylight's a burning." That was my dad's phrase. "Daylight's a burning, son. You know, get up. Get out of bed. There's chores. There's work to be done." Jesus is not like an Egyptian taskmaster saying, "You need to make bricks without straw. You need to make disciples without strength." No, Jesus isn't like that. He is the good shepherd. He says, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. You need rest. I have heard people say, "Oh, rest? No, that's what we'll do in heaven." Well, no, we need it on earth. We still need rest here. Now, Jesus does not say, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest forever or for 8 weeks. It's just for a while. And as we'll see, it is very short-lived. But I want you to know, number one, that doing God's work can wear you out to where you need rest. And number two, not to worry, Jesus is a great shepherd. Notice number three, and we'll draw a lesson out of this, the second half of verse 31. "For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." There's an interesting thing that is in the original languages. They have a tense that we don't really have, the imperfect tense. And it's used to paint a picture of something, of constant activity. This is in that tense, and it draws a picture. There were people coming and going and coming and going and coming and going. This nonstop stream of activity. And it's people coming with problems. That's why they're coming. They're not coming just to say hi. They're coming and going and coming and going to the apostles because they have been out preaching and ministering and serving and healing, and they're just coming and going and coming and going. And probably some of those who are going were giving referrals. "Oh, you know, I saw Pastor Dan. You should go see him. He's really helpful." They have no idea whether Pastor Dan's plate is completely full or whether he's got nothing but time on his hands. They're giving referrals. There's kind of a side lesson here. It's not one of the ones I've numbered, but if you do your work well, that's going to mean more work. Like, you know, Pastor Rick and Miss Brenda, they are excellent biblical counselors. I probably shouldn't advertise this. They really are excellent biblical counselors. Well, you know what? When you do that, word gets around, and then it's like suddenly, oh my goodness, more people are coming and saying, "Hey, could you help me? I need help." And next thing you know, your plate is full. But nobody else knows that. Lesson three here is others tend not to see your need for rest. Others tend not to see your need for rest. These people are coming and going and coming and going and coming and going in such a way, to such an extent, that the disciples don't even have time to eat. You know, and there are certainly busy seasons here in our church family. When VBS comes around, that's a busy season. And some of us, and I'm certain some of those of you who are raising children and work a job, you come to VBS, you didn't have time to eat. Awana, busy season, right? Wednesday night is a busy season. And you come straight to Awana from work, you didn't have time to eat. Some of the kids also come, and they didn't have time to eat. Right? So lesson one here we're learning is just doing God's work can wear you out. But number two, not to worry, Jesus is a great shepherd. Number three, others tend not to see your need for rest. Lesson number four, not to worry, Jesus is a great shepherd. Sounds a lot like lesson two, isn't it? Yeah, it's worded exactly the same. But notice, they're coming and going and coming and going. The people are, but Jesus sees the need of his disciples. And so verse 32, so they departed. They departed in the midst of people coming and going and coming and going. Jesus does not say, "Hey guys, I'd give you a break, but there's just too much work to be done. I mean, look, people are still coming and going. So until and unless this traffic stops, no breaks." No, I think Jesus does not suggest to them to come aside. He says, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest. There's two commands in there. Come aside and rest. That's a good shepherd. All right, and spiritual leaders, by the way, and parents are spiritual leaders. And all of you fellow elders and deacons, take a note. Jesus is not a taskmaster. He does not want to overload his disciples so as to burn them out. You know, we are a church that is largely run by volunteers. I don't know if you knew that. Most churches with 170 people on the list, and we have 170 people on the list, most churches with 170 people on the list have 2 to 3 full-time staff pastors. Check it out. You'll find it's true. And when I talk to fellow pastors and how big their church, yeah, we're getting to 95 people. We got 2 people on staff. We're looking at hiring a third. And I go, you're serious? We are largely run by volunteers. That is so that we can support missions. I mean, if you go back way back to 2009, 2010, when we started talking about how we would staff, we said we should staff lean so that we can support missions and missionaries. And at this day, this, thanks to your generous giving, this church, 20% of everything that's taken in goes to missions. And we try to really pressure Pastor Rick, spend that money. That's got to be spent. That's going to missions. We never want to take from that. As long as I'm here, we never want to take from that to hire staff to make life easier. But volunteering in a church is hard to do, right? I look at Vic and Lisa doing canvassing. Yeah. Who's paying you to do that? Nobody. I look at those who do projection and sound. Who's paying you to do what you do? Jeremy, who's paying you to run around and run cables? Philip? Nobody's paying them to do that. It's all volunteer, and mostly that's what happens here. So others would tend not to see the need, but Jesus knows your need. Psalm 135:14 says, the Lord will have compassion on his servants. That's a promise. Psalm 135:14, he will have compassion on those who serve him. And we see it here, Christ having compassion on his disciples. And it says, verse 32, so they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. This is the first ever Christian cruise with Jesus as the main speaker. But it was very short-lived. Look at verse 33. But the multitudes saw them departing. Remember back in John 6, I said, hey, the multitudes, how did they get over here? And how did Jesus cross over? Well, now we know Jesus crossed over to the other side in a boat with his apostles only in order to get away from the crowds. But the crowd saw them departing. I think there's a lesson in there. Depart for vacation at night. The multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and they ran there on foot from all the cities and arrived before them and came together to him. Now, can you imagine? You imagine you've served in Awana for years. How many of you have served in Awana for more than 10 years? Come on, where's the hands? They're just being humble. We have a lot of people here who have served in Awana for more than 10 years. Okay, more than 10 years. Imagine you just need a break. And you go away, and when you arrive at the resort, it's all your cubbies and all your sparks and the TNT group and all your trekkers. They're all there waiting for you, and they're not waiting to enjoy vacation. They're showing up with their problems and their needs. This is what happened here. All of these people got there. They ran on foot. I just imagine they're rowing across to the other side, and the disciples are looking going, what is going on? People are running around. Have you ever been to the Sea of Galilee? It's actually quite small, and we went out, we were there in 2008, I think, and we were on the Sea of Galilee, and it really isn't that long of a path to run around the shore to the other side. This crowd is running to get there before the boat ever pulls up to shore, and I don't know, but I can imagine the disciples are going, oh, Lord, what are you going to do? Like, if you wonder how the disciples felt about all this, Look at the first three words of verse 36. They are commanding Jesus, send them away. Send them away. And then they try to soft pedal. Well, send them away because they probably need food. They're hungry. But the bottom line is they want Jesus to send them away. So lesson three, remember lesson three? Others tend not to see your need and not to give you rest. Lesson four is not to worry. Jesus is a great shepherd. Lesson five is sometimes people pursue you even when you're trying to take a break. That's lesson five. This is true. It can happen that you are trying to take a break away. You're trying to take some time off or whatever, and people pursue you. And these days, they don't have to run there. They've got iPhones. And you know what? I mean, I think Pastor Rick, Pastor Drew, Pastor Dan, I think all of us, when we go on vacation, we take our phones with us. And we get texts or emails or messages or whatever. But there's times when people, I mean, they are pursuing you when you're trying to take time away because they need help, right? You know what lesson six is? Not to worry. Jesus is a great shepherd. What they really need, and this is lesson seven, what people really need is the Lord. That's lesson seven. We need the Lord. They need the Lord. Look at verse 33 says, but the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. Verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, that's when Jesus came out of the boat, having gone to the other side to get away with his disciples from the crowds. When he came out, he saw the great multitude and was what? Moved with compassion for them. Jesus saw all these people not as a problem, not as a difficulty, not as a group of people that he wanted to send away. Instead, he was moved. That means that inside, he was so moved by all these people with so many needs that he couldn't not do something. It says he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. What is that like? It's like needing someone who knows you and cares for you, but not having that person. Needing someone who will feed you and lead you, but not having anyone who will do that. I don't know how many of you have ever been without, like, let's say, a pastor, where you've needed someone to feed you from the Word of God and no one could do it. Or you didn't have somebody to teach God's Word. We often encourage you, come to Sunday school. Come to Tuesday night Bible study. Brother Nate leading us through the Gospel of Luke. It's rich food. I just think, man, there's so many people that miss out. Jesus wants you to be fed. That is key to not getting tired, actually. It's key to enduring despite how tired you get. Jesus sees these people like sheep needing someone to lead them, needing someone to feed them, needing someone to care for them, to give them direction and protection and provision. And the disciples, he knows they're out of gas. They're out of steam. And they're not ready for this crowd. But Jesus is. Look at the end of verse 34. End of verse 34. So he began to teach them many things. And the them, as we learn from John 6, is not just this crowd that's come there, but his disciples also. All of this is going to lead into the message behind the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. We all have a tremendous lack. A tremendous lack, a tremendous need. We lack the strength, the provision, the resources, the wisdom, the wherewithal to do all that God has called us to do. But we have a tremendous Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he is your Lord, you'll never lack. Remember Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want or lack. That means I'll never lack for any good thing. That first line of Psalm 23 says that if the Lord is your shepherd, he will take care of you personally. Personally. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want or lack. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. We're going to see in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus makes them to lie down in green pastures. Right? You know what that tells us? That if the Lord's your shepherd, he takes care of you physically. Why would he make you to lie down? Because you need rest. And it reads this way in the Hebrew. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Even when I might not think to lie down on my own, he makes me to do that. He leads me beside the still waters and he restores my soul. He takes care of you personally, physically, and spiritually. He restores your soul. Sometimes you get spiritually tired, right? Like, yeah, I've got the strength to continue on, but I just don't have the heart. Ooh, that's a dangerous place to be, right? You need the Lord to restore your spirit and your soul to where you're excited to come to church, where you want to come. You want to be here with the brethren, and you want to be here not to be served, but to serve others. Then it says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. By the way, that's where we live. That's where we walk. That's not a place you walk only at the end of life. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death means that death is just on the other side, and you are in the shadow. Right? And He says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know what that means? He takes care of you emotionally. If the Lord is your shepherd, He takes care of you personally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And He cares for you that way. So that you're not even afraid of running out of steam. You're not afraid of even dying. Your rod and your staff, they come from me. That means I know you're here. I know you have instruments. It's probably His Holy Spirit and His Word. You have these instruments, these tools that you use to direct me and correct me and provide for me and prod me along. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You know what that tells you? If the Lord's your shepherd, He provides for you abundantly. Abundantly, not a shortage. My cup runs over to overflowing. And He does this daily. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Some of you I know have been serving Jesus Christ for like more than 50 years. But you're still serving Him. That is such an influence on me. That is a great encouragement. One of the greatest encouragements to me at my age is those of you who are older and you're still serving with vigor. I think, man, I want to be like that when I grow up. I want to be like Miss Randy when I grow up. 70 and still in church and wanting to serve. I think if I had to guess, the main difficulty of your ankle replacement and everything else is that you can't serve the way you want to. Like, there's no lack of desire on Miss Randy's part to do everything that she's always done, but new ankle, you know, man, that's motivating to me. And if the Lord is your shepherd, that's how He cares for you. Not only personally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, abundantly, and daily, but He'll do this eternally. Then I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is a great shepherd. That's what we learn on the way to the feeding of the 5,000 and from the feeding of the 5,000. When we go back to John 6, we see this. John 6:3, and Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. He's giving them rest. He's ready to put them to the test, as we'll see. But He's ready to demonstrate to them that they never need to fear a thing as long as He is with them, because they will never run out. He is their good shepherd who will provide for them. So let me, by way of application, speak to those of you who are servants of Jesus Christ. You love the Lord. You're Christians. You know He's your shepherd. You know what? Anytime you need rest, let me tell you, take it to the Lord. Lord, I need rest. He will give you rest. I can tell you from my 30 years of walking with Christ, He's never left me down. When I have busy seasons, I just came back from vacation, so I'm all excited. But there are seasons that are really busy, and I'm worn down, and I just say, Lord, I need rest. He gives it. If you need refreshed, take that to the Lord. He gives it. If you need restored, if maybe you've stumbled off the path, take that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I've stumbled here. I've sinned here. Confess that to the Lord, and if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Take any problem, any need, any lack, any difficulty, any burden to the Lord, and I tell you, He is a good shepherd. He will provide you for what you need. What about you who are here today and you don't have Jesus Christ? Because that's probably some of you. You don't have Christ. You don't have Jesus as your shepherd. You only have Jesus as your future judge. I want you to hear what Jesus says to you. These are direct words from Jesus Christ to you who do not have Jesus Christ as your shepherd. But what you do have is you have the burden and the weight of doing all that you are supposed to do without Jesus Christ. Because as I look around, I would guess some of you, you are parents, but you're parenting without Christ. Man, that's a load. You work a job, but you work your job without Christ. That's a load. And on top of that, you have the burden of all your sin. Listen to what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who labor and who are heavy laden. The first word, labor, that means I know you're working. I know you get tired and you're heavy laden, and I know you have a burden of sin that you're carrying around. Come to me, says Jesus, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. That is the promise of Jesus Christ to you who live your life without Him. Jesus says, come to me, I'll give you rest. Rest from the burden of guilt. rest from the burden of laboring. And you say, well, I don't know how to follow Christ. I don't know how that would work. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus will teach you how to live for him. He'll teach you step by step, day by day, how to walk and how to live for Jesus Christ in the workplace, in the home, in the community, and in church. You don't have to worry about that. And then he says this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus Christ does not load this heavy thing on you once you become a Christian that you can't bear. Instead, he loads you with blessings that are abundant and strength sufficient for the day. And many of us who are in this place and who have served the Lord for 25, 30 years and up, we would all stand up and testify, it's true. Jesus Christ is a great shepherd. You have nothing to fear. So if you're here today and you're tired, take it to the Lord. He'll restore you, refresh you, and give you new strength. If you're here today without Christ, take that to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and teach me how to follow you, and he will teach you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ into this world to be the Savior for sinners like us. And not only that, but to be our shepherd day by day. Father, I pray for any who are weary and tired in this place, may they grow weary not of the work, but only in it. May you renew their strength to continue serving you no matter how they feel. And Father, I pray for anyone here who is still lost and without Christ. May today be the day that they would turn their burden over to you and be saved. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.